Hey everybody, David Waters from Gators Breakdown here. Had some technical difficulties at the beginning of this Twitter Spaces, so you are going to join it in progress there. So technology got the best of me this morning, but getting that Twitter Spaces out for you anyway. So just to let you guys know, you'll be joining it in progress.
And it's just because, like, it's not a splash hire, but to me, it was the best fit at the time. It looks good because of what we needed and what we were lacking from last year. Like, the organization, the recruiting, all of that. So, sometimes the splash hire isn't what you need at that time. And that is what I'm getting from the Billy hire. But, I mean, Lincoln would have been nice, of course.
Yeah.
but we needed somebody to rebuild the program. And Billy's been wanted. He's been at the top of the coaching list for a few years. So, I mean, it's just overlooked because of the splash hires, definitely. Because of the big-time names.
Yeah, I think so, too. And like I said, that could work out better. I mean, I don't really know. You know, maybe reaching too much there. Maybe just trying to look for something there. But it does allow him just to kind of fly in and just, you know, not the spotlight. I mean, I'm sure SEC Network and maybe ESPN somewhat on Sunday would do things about it. But, you know, they're more worried about Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly, so it's I just think it's an interesting angle to all this of how it's playing out and the timing of all the other hires and Notre Dame a possible college football playoff team if everything works out this weekend and could be Brian Kelly making that college football playoff run. So I think there's so many storylines to those other schools and it really just allows Billy Napier to fly under the radar.
Definitely. And sometimes that's a good
thing. Yeah, it could be.
Like you said, it ain't as much pressure media-wise because it's like, okay, he's an up-and-coming coach, so we gonna give him more of a chance versus a big-name hire. They want you to come in and succeed off top. Like, they want everything to be in order. And to an extent, we are a little bit of a rebuild. I'm not gonna say we elite the league, but it requires some stuff. That is going to be that's going to require some attention, definitely.
Yeah, we'll see where all that goes. Yeah, pretty tough schedule too next year, so well, that's a big part of it as well. All right, let me get a couple more people in here. Are you good? You good, Nuke?
Oh, I was just going to say anything about any more rumors about the staff hires, as far as anything we haven't already heard.
I mean, not really. I don't know what everybody's heard for one thing. So, you know, there's not a whole lot out there, as far as confirmation for any of the hires or anything like that. I know, probably looking at the one that kind of snuck out yesterday would be, I hope I'm saying his name right, Jabbar Jalouk. Hope I'm saying that name right. You know, from Louisiana there, has his ties to Louisiana. That seems to be one move. That's likely to happen. Him coming with Billy to Florida, and you have to worry about not worry about. You have to wonder about him coming from Louisiana, where all his ties are, and then coming to Florida. You know, I've always said recruiters recruit, so that's kind of a small part of that. Not really too much of a concern there. But you worry if he keeps those roots there. And can have some kind of pipeline, but also, you know, transfer that to the state of Florida and recruiting there. But it seems to be a good on-field coach as well. So we know Florida needs both. But you know, I know the big one everybody's wondering about, Doug Belk, maybe the defensive coordinator. Houston plays this weekend too against Cincinnati. And I believe I was talking about this on the Gators Breakdown Plus Q&A as well. That game is at the same time as Louisiana and App State and the SEC Championship game. So, you know, you might have all your monitors there. If you really want to check out Doug Belk, you get to see him against Cincinnati, his defense against Cincinnati this weekend. So, like I said, I don't know if that's where the defensive coordinator hire is going to go. But if it does, you can keep an eye on Doug Belk and his defense this weekend as well. Patrick Toney is another name, of course. You heard Josh bring that up from the Raging Review podcast this week. So another name to look out for. Of course, it's still one big part of this is still, does he retain any of the current members of the Florida staff? I really think it might just be Christian Robinson if he does. I think Christian Robinson wants to stay in Gainesville, recently got married, as everybody knows out there, building a house in Gainesville, I believe, but, you know, that's coaching for you. So I think he'd like to stay in Gainesville as far as that goes, but he's about the only one right now that I could see maybe being retained from the staff. And Dez Kitchens is the other big name out there, running backs coach for the Falcons, I believe, and a lot of Nope, I gotta mute your mic, man. Whatever you're doing is creating a whole lot of noise, so I gotta mute it when you're not talking. So yeah, Dez Kitchens, you know, and he could coach a couple roles there on offense. I believe running backs, wide receivers, you could look at him like that. And of course, Josh from the Raging Review podcast brought up Rob Sales' name as well on the offensive line to maybe watch out, look out for. So timing with this could be tricky if you got some NFL guys that are going to be on the staff, like Kitchens and Sale. Do you bring those guys? You can't. I don't know if you bring them in right away. That usually doesn't work that way, so you have to bide your time there. But also looking at some of the college guys that he would bring with him as well, that maybe is taking part in championship games this weekend. So that's about it for staff right now. Not a lot of confirmation either way, but it does seem like, you know, Jaluk, there's a name to watch out for. Tony is a name to watch out for. And hopefully Doug Belk as well. So it is funny. We're coming full circle in the Doug Belk thing because, okay, Todd Grantham gets fired. We're looking for our next defensive coordinator under Dan Mullen. Belk's name comes up. Complete entire coaching staff change is coming up, and we're still looking at Doug Belk. So I think so a lot of what we're looking at is hopefully – you know, the young up-and-comer. You know, there'd be a lot of youth on the staff if you take Napier into account and Belk as well. But from what we know, from what we can gather, a huge recruiting prowess there from both of those guys. All right, let's get a couple more in here. Herman. Yeah. Feral Crowns.
Hey, Dave, I just wanted to say that I think that Brian Kelly is a great cultural fit in the state of Louisiana because he really reminds me of a swamp rat called Nutria. I just can't believe that what they've done to themselves. I think they're going to be kicking themselves in 12 to 18 months from now because this isn't going to be a train wreck for them. I cannot believe that they let Napier get out of their backyard, and I feel like he's going to be the type of guy to remember that for years and years and years.
That's the word that he I don't know if there's a way to confirm that or not, but basically told LSU, you know, hey, I'll see you in the fall in the swamp. So it's there's some word about that going on there. But the whole Brian Kelly thing, look, it'll be okay as long as he's winning. But if he's not winning, that thing could turn south quick.
Do you think Napier and his staff will try to continue to recruit the state of Louisiana as, like, I mean, not obviously as hard as they did at ULL, but like, is there going to be a renewed commitment to the state of Florida? Or are they going to, you know, just try to recruit the Southeast in general?
No, I think there will be, because he's got some background in Florida as well from his time at Alabama and gaining some big time playmakers from the state. So no, I think there will be a definitely renewed sense of recruiting the state of Florida, but then using his out of state ties as well to, you know, to sprinkle in, to fill in the gaps. And look, I mean, yeah, you're not going to get your whole 25-man class, you know, or of course, that's just a round number. They're not all going to be from the state of Florida, and they don't need to be. You know, we've gotten our playmakers from out of state. We've recruited Georgia well at times. We recruited the East Coast and the Southeast well at times to get some good players. But yeah, we know the base of your class has to be in the state of Florida. But no, you go pick and choose out there in the state, and by all means, keep using those Louisiana ties for as long as you can to get some of the better athletes out of that. I mean, Alabama has to go recruit. Look, they, of course, their home state is not the greatest recruiting hotbed, but they go get some great players out of Louisiana. Now can Florida do that with Billy Napier's reputation in that state? All those great players that leave Louisiana and don't go to LSU, can you steal a couple of those from the likes of Alabama and get them on your roster instead? So that will be the benefit there, is those maybe 2-3 high-end athletes from Louisiana that don't want to go to LSU. I think Florida's got a lot to sell now with Napier being at the helm.
Yeah, one last question. On the last pod, it was mentioned and kind of breezed over the fact that when he showed up to Louisiana, they were under like NCAA sanctions with reductions in scholarships his first 2 years. Is that really true? Because didn't he recruit the number one recruiting classes in his conference, even with like pretty massive scholarship reductions? I think they said like 30 the first year and 20 something the next year.
Yeah, I think he eventually got to the number one class. Was it his first full cycle, the bump class? I don't remember the exact numbers there of how that turned out. But yeah, I mean, Hutzpah had put him under NCAA sanctions, and he was still able to build the program out of that there. So, you know, that's a testament to him and his recruiting prowess in the Sun Belt, and hopefully that's what translates here to here in Florida. But yeah, he had to really pick and choose who he was going to bring in those first couple early classes there, and that's what you ended up seeing that he did. And yeah, we got definitely need to look at class size and class number and all that stuff and go back and look at that. But yeah, something I haven't really had time to go back and look at, but saw a couple articles as well that, you know, mentioned that fact as well, that, you know, when he got there, it was under some sanctions, under a tough time to be recruiting there, and he overcome those obstacles anyway.
Great stuff. Thanks, man.
Morning, Dave.
How you doing, man?
Cooling, man. Yeah, man, I'm ready, man. Every time we change coaches, since we've been changing coaches lately, I just be ready for it to get rolling, man. Yeah. With Napier, as I was with Dan, and kind of with McElwain, got to give them four. Like, we got to give them four. I honestly don't think, like, I know Gator fans think, like, I know we the flagship of Florida, but until we get that type of splash, hire coach with that big name, like if we got somebody who was winning national championships or who was doing like big stuff before coming over here, we'll be able to snatch recruits. But I don't think we are where we think that we could just snatch people. Like I'm not expecting his first year for him to just be snatching up recruits, because I coach 7-on-7s, and we dealing with a different animal as far as like with recruiting. We just got to get our name back known for us, like, just winning. We got, like, what Bama and Clemson them got is a different advantage than what everybody else got. Like, Bama and Clemson them and now Georgia, they have a – either you could go
and
that's why people over there sitting on the bench. That's why people going over there and sitting on the bench, because they using that tactic as well on them. It's like – you see the big dogs coming over here. You can go over there and start real quick, but the big dogs over here. And that's where we at. Until, like, I think if Napier going there, like, for him to get it rolling, and I think he could do it if nobody don't transfer, no more people transfer. Like, I know we got to give him time, but he got to get at least by 9-3. Like, he got to have a 9-3 season for that recruiting to pick up, or it's going to be the same, because all these recruits going to do is what they always do. They're going to sit back. They're going to watch. They're going to have to see how the program going. And as soon as if it don't go good right that first year, they watching what our fan base is going to say and how we going to be reacting to them. And that's what slow recruits down, when they get to see how we moving and stuff like that. And that was it. We got to get – because I think the state of Florida, just in general,
All right, Farrah, you're breaking up, man. But I think I got most of that there. I think, you know, there is a reputation there, and I think winning on the field, it can go far. I'm still a believer recruits can recruit. But Florida does have to recruit their way out of a poor reputation out there in the recruiting world a bit. We all saw the story that came out yesterday, the post from KC that got floated around on Twitter about Dan Mullen and the cell phone and having it in Lee Davis's possession and not so much him, and then not being able to FaceTime with recruits when, you know, planned from opposing coaches out there to, hey, go ahead and FaceTime now, and I bet you won't get Dan. And that's exactly what happened there. But we know the reputation out there is not all that great in the recruiting world. So there is some repair that needs to be made. But I still am a firm believer if you're a recruiter, you can get your way out of it. Results on the field, I still only think take you so far to keep your head above water a bit. Winning doesn't necessarily translate a whole lot to me on the recruiting trail as much as losing does. I think losing can really dig you a hole. In recruiting, winning keeps your head above water, but then you still got to go out there and sell the vision, sell the hope. And that's what it is right now. You can take advantage early in a career. You can take advantage early in a coaching in a coaching cycle because you can still sell the hope. You can still sell the vision. Now, the longer that plays out and it doesn't trend the right way, that's where it can hurt you. But you still get the sale hope. You still get the sale vision early on in the tenure. And I think that's what they'll be able to do. A lot of new coaches are able to do that. So I do think results on the field positively matter somewhat. But you still got to go out there and do your job still. And it's not going to be the ultimate factor to me for whether these recruits are coming to Florida or not. Lose, and you dig yourself even further. But not I do think the reputation just pure recruiting, relationship building needs to be built at Florida more so than the product on the field right away.
Yeah, because I'm behind them. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm the fan that pretty much latches on with every coach. Like,
hey, we should. We should. There's no reason why we should not.
Yeah, so I was like, each coach I always saw like something like, I'm like, man, if we could just get this. I know it looked bad, but if we could just get this, it'd be better, you know. So like, when Muschamp left, you know, and when he had said it, I had agreed with him. He was just like, man, the next coach that come, like, he got some players, and I had agreed with it, you know. The same when McElwain left, I was like, shit, when we get Dan Mullen, the same thing. He got something to work with on offense. We just see how it's gonna put pan together, and that's how I feel, you know, with this roster. I was one of the people that, you know, I always just be laughing about how to meet. And maybe because, you know, I guess when, you know, you do lose a Kyle Pitts, I guess it does change a little dynamics. But I felt like like a lot of players left the previous season. So, you know, my thing was, you know, I'm like, I remember everything, you know, as far as like what the analysts say during the games and stuff like that. So, you know, my thing is, far as like this season, I feel like, you know, this is a season – you know, we did bad. We did way worse than what we were supposed to do. But with that, I don't think, you know, a lot of people, oh, man, I think we could go 7-5. I'm like, no, we got a good roster. Because I'm one of the people that, like, I remember when we played Georgia last year and they was like, oh, we closed the gap. We're closing the gap. We're not there yet, but we're closing the gap. And then next year is just so far off. I'm like, I don't believe that. That it just, 1 year is just so far off that we just don't got no talent. No, it just was a bad year. And I feel like going into this next season, like, we got the pieces to do something. Like, and so, dang, I just dropped my money. Hold on real quick. But, hold on. Hey, I'm going to come back, Dave.
Sounds good.
All right.
All right, let me get some more in here. What's up?
Morning, Dave.
Hey, man, how are you?
Hey, man, doing great. Excuse me. just wanted to say, you know, I heard what he said about first year impressions basically on recruits. I'd like to remind people that Kirby Smart went 8-5.
Right.
His first year at Georgia. Nick Saban went 7-6 his first year. And you're exactly right. If you're a good salesman, you can sell the vision. You can sell what's to come. And Napier has a history of that. We've heard Josh from the the Raging Cajun podcast thing, where he said that, you know, that they're recruiting. And yes, I know it's Louisiana, but the recruiting there has been better than it's ever been under Napier. When you look at coaches, you look at trends and what their trends are. His first year at Louisiana, he's lost 12 games total in his whole career. 7 of those were lost in the first year.
Yep.
That means he's only lost 5 games in 3 years. That's impressive. That's very impressive for a place like Louisiana.
Well, especially going back to where, you know, where they're coming from and having to build that roster up under sanctions as well. So.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. And I don't think it's fair to judge this transition class.
Oh, no, exactly. No.
It's not fair to – I want to caution. I've had some Gator fans. I've had some of them hit my DMs, and they're saying, oh, well, you know, he better get this. I'm like, look, no. This is his transition class, man. He's just getting started. I will judge him as a recruiter, which I'm pretty sure I know what kind of recruiter he is, but I will judge the class when he has a full year cycle of recruiting. And then we'll get an idea of how good he is at selling at these recruits. And I just, his history tells us it's going to be great.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for it. I mean, you're seeing the small foundation built right now this week when, you know, he's splitting time, but you do see there's some phone calls being made to some recruits and out there, you know, of course, mainly the quarterback commit, Nick Evers, out there has already had a conversation, and they're supposed to visit next week together. So, you know, but yeah, it's, you don't want to, nobody wants, you shouldn't judge this transition class too harshly.
No.
It can be, I think you're setting yourself up for disappointment if you want to do that, just because the early signing period, and credit to him for sticking around Louisiana and seeing his, you know, a lot of these players he's coaching Saturday are the guys that have been with him since the beginning of his time at Louisiana. And I'm full credit for him for sticking by his guys and sticking with those guys. And well, we'd love to see him in Gainesville already, sure, but you cannot fault him one bit for sticking around and sticking with his guys for one more game.
I agree. And I think this transition class, to be honest with you, I think I really would like to see them focus on the line of scrimmage.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, just go get O-line and D-line, focus on that mostly. You know, maybe get a couple of skill players if you can, but mostly just,
man, what it is for me, man, honestly, to if you can even get something, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, create excuses or built-in excuses or anything, and we'll see how it all plays out, but at least right now, get some guys to delay their decisions. If you can get them to, you know, not go in on early signing day because they have interest in Florida, and you can sell them for another month and a half until February, then already, you know, that's a step in the right direction.
Absolutely. And I think you will see him. Listen, I think we're going to get some kids that we normally would not have gotten under Mullen, to be honest. But I think we're going to have more probably misses than we have hits for a transition class. And that's okay. That's okay. That's something that we need to accept. We just have no choice. But
hey, CT. CT, and that's the thing. That's where I'm at. I agree with you. Like, we, I had to get coaches transition class. But how history goes and how our fan base is, it's gonna be a group of fan members that's still gonna get him for it. Because if you think about it, what is Emory? What class Emory comes?
Transition class. Yep.
Exactly, and he getting faulted for that. And so that's what's like, it's because he's starting, he messing everything. He was one of the pieces that killed the bad career. So I hope that, like, far as like with Napier, we do get him that. As with McElwain, we find McElwain, he still had mustache players.
Yeah.
I want to say, but when Mullen got there, he still had mustache players, and we still got McElwain players.
Well, and 2 years.
So,
and go back to Billy's when he took over Louisiana. Now that was the first time. He came in 2018, just like Dan Mullen did at Florida. That was the first time we had early signing day. Billy Napier decided not to sign anybody in the early signing period at Louisiana.
That's right.
Because he wanted time to evaluate. Now, he'll sign some at Florida for early signing. I mean, there's already commits in place. Of course, him already talking to Evers, and, you know, that lets you know, okay, quarterback's ready to go. And there's, you know, I think Florida will sign some at early signing day. But don't be surprised if, the, you know, it's if he doesn't. And he wants to evaluate more players and keep those scholarships open for February. But I don't know if a lot of people know that. Early signing day was also new. So you can also see why a brand new head coach would want to take his time. But he came in and said right away, we're not signing anybody for the early signing period.
You know what, Dave? That's funny you say that, because that was exactly where I was going with what I was about to say. Is he's don't be shocked if we don't sign a full class, because some coaches, and I've seen it happen, some coaches, like I think Saban did this at Alabama his first year. He didn't fill up the first class. He didn't fill up. I mean, they're methodical in what they do.
Well, not only that, and it's a huge difference now with the transfer portal too. So
that's true. That's true. And yeah, that's exactly right. That gives him even more time to evaluate what he needs on his team for later, especially after National Signing Day. So I'm excited about him. I think I'm going to go watch him play. I'm going to go watch his team play in Lafayette. It's only 2 hours from me. So okay. So I'm looking forward to that. Already got Section A field level, so I'm pretty happy with that. So,
hold on. See, I got to ask. Are you going to be there in orange and blue?
Heck yeah, man. I'll be wearing my Gator jacket. Absolutely.
You know what? That's something funny. I didn't think about it until now, though, but I want to watch that game and see if there's some, you know, smattering of orange and blue in the crowd. I'm sure there will be.
Oh, it's funny because where my seats are, I mean, it's possible you might see me on TV. I don't know. But I'm excited about it. I've already gotten with some other people that I'm going to be meeting up with in Lafayette. And Cajun fans are really excited about Gator fans coming. And I've been encouraged, hey, man, wear your orange and blue. You know, that'd be awesome, you know.
Yeah.
And it's been kind of a nice partnership, you know, with the fan bases and everything. And I really am excited to see how his team plays. It's going to be a very emotional game.
Yeah.
Not just because it's a championship game, obviously. So very excited about it. I've not been to a game there before. So it's going to be exciting, and I'm taking my little cousin. He's a big football fan. He's just now getting into it. He'll be a freshman next year. So he's like, "Yeah, I want to go." I'm like, "All right." So I got that extra ticket. So awesome. I'll go. So yeah,
good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah, man. All right, man. Listen, go Gators, and let's. I can't wait for the press conference Sunday. I'll say that.
Yeah, that's actually where I was going to go next. Got the email from Florida yesterday. There's still not a set time. For the press conference yet, so we had to get our credentials yesterday for that, but still no set time. I'm gonna hope it's early, and just selfishly, so he can go hit recruiting as soon as he possibly can. So get that press conference in and out of the way, start making phone calls, start getting on the road, and you know, the very next weekend, you know, I'm sure help also set up that official visit weekend, his first official visit weekend next weekend. So no set time on the press conference yet for Billy Napier. I'm sure Florida will stream it, and I know SEC Network carried the press conference from Brian Kelly and LSU. Maybe they'll do the same thing on Sunday, but it's according to what time, I'm sure, that they have some basketball games planned for live events and stuff. But if not, you know, they you may be able to find it on SEC Network too, but I know Florida will probably definitely be streaming it on the YouTube out there. So no set time yet. And when it gets announced, of course, you know, if you guys follow me on Twitter, I'll make sure I'll put out there what time the press conference will be on Sunday. All right, let's bring – Ryan's been waiting. And Levi's been waiting. All right, sorry the audio sounds different, guys. As I said, I was having some issues this morning, so, and I don't think I got the first part of this recorded. So if you're listening on the replay, that's why it may sound a bit weird and different. Ryan, Levi, you guys are in here if you want to – speak up.
How's it going, Dave?
Good, man. How about you?
Doing good. Doing good. Hey, I got a couple of questions. you may or may not have been hearing anything, but any word on if Copeland might be thinking about coming back? Or I know Pierce has the COVID year if he wants it. Do you think he's going to move on or possibly come back? And have you heard anything about Emory? And that's really just what I was curious about. And I'll listen and go Gators, man. Thanks for all you do.
Copeland, I don't know. I haven't really been told, confirmed anything. latest I heard was expecting him not to come back. But I don't think it's still been, I don't think it's been confirmed one way or the other. Emery, I know midway the season, toward the later part of the season, not coming back. Then now you got a coaching change. I don't know if that changes anything as far as what he does, whether he comes back or not, whether they sit down with the staff and decide to maybe go through spring practice, or maybe a decision is made before then. I think Damian Pierce was. I think he'll go. By the way, I don't. That's just me. I have no idea. I don't know. That's just me guessing there. As much as Billy Napier likes to run the ball, I mean, maybe he wants to come back one more year, and I need to go back and look at what Billy Napier does with running backs, and if he lends himself to have a workhorse running back and double-digit carries in the game for a change. I wouldn't expect Pierce to come back, but if anybody else out there knows, then maybe you can share with that. That's something I haven't really concerned myself with. Usually something like that, if it's just shared my way. I haven't asked about that, I guess I should say. So if it's been thrown my way, I'll share it. But the Emery thing is really, really interesting to see how this all plays out, what he hears from the new staff, if he even cares to hear from the new staff. What happens in the bowl game? Is he waiting on that to play in the bowl game before he makes a decision to announce if he's leaving or not? So there's a couple of ways there. But Copeland, I wouldn't expect back, the last I heard. And then, we'll see what happens with some of the other ones. I know the word out there is Brenton Cox is coming back, and that may have some play into Bogle and Summerall putting their names in the transfer portal. And I think we just need to remember, too, just because their names are in the transfer portal does not mean they're going to leave. Now, most players do when they put their name in the portal, but maybe they have meeting with the new staff as well when Billy Napier gets in the building next week, and maybe they sell those guys on, hey, don't leave just yet. Here's who we're thinking of defensive coordinator, or who this is, who our defensive coordinator is going to be. You can meet with him, all that. Maybe they decide to stay. But just because they're in the portal doesn't necessarily mean, but it does seem like the fallout of Brenton Cox maybe decide to come back is why there is a reason, or part of the reason, why you see Summerall and Bogle in the portal as well.
Yeah, David's right. I think I agree with you on all accounts. I would not expect to see Damian Pierce return to the Florida Gators. I think he's got a bright future in the NFL. The NFL doesn't typically draft highly. I think any running back should know that. He's got a very bright future. If I was the coach, I would encourage him. I don't think I would tell him he needs to come back. I would encourage him to go ahead and go to the NFL. Because Florida's got a really deep running back room coming back. We've got Lynn, mm-hmm. Bartholm, and all these guys coming back. And, Napier's probably going to recruit one or two. So I would encourage Damian Pierce to go. And truth be told, I think Emory Jones should transfer. Not that I don't want him a Florida Gator. Once you're a Gator, I love you, bleed orange and blue. But for the good of Emory Jones's career, he should probably transfer, and good on the kid. We'll root for him wherever he goes, right? I mean, he's been a good soldier, really persevered this year. I know he made some mistakes and stuff like that on the field, but, man, that's just playing ball. You're going to make mistakes. If you play ball, you're going to make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. But going back to one of your original conversations while I was waiting in the room there, Napier not getting a whole lot of attention as a splash hire, stuff like that. Look, Shaka Smart was a splash hire for the University of Texas basketball team. We'll see how that worked out. Right? I mean, look, here's the deal. You've got to do, if you're the athletic director, you're Scott Strickland, you've got to identify the guy that you believe is the best guy for your football program, and you've got to go get him. And if you believe that Billy Napier is the best guy for your football program, then go get him. Listen, Lincoln Riley, it's been widely rumored, he didn't want any part of the SEC. Not that he's scared. He's just like, I don't want to be down there. That's fine. Okay, I don't want to play second fiddle to Nick Saban. No big deal. He didn't want there. He wanted to go west. That's fine. And we don't want Brian Kelly. I'm sorry. I know that people are like, well, we should have made a run at Brian Kelly. Nope. No, thank you. Mm-mm, no. Brian Kelly's well regarded as being personality challenge. We'll put it very nicely that way. We don't want that. We don't need that energy at the University of Florida. Go get the young guy.
Didn't we just go through that?
Yes, we just went through that. It's one of the reasons that, I don't have a national podcast like you do, but I wasn't really a big fan of the Dan Mullen hire, to be honest with you.
only because of previous personality quirks that had been rumored, you know, coming out of the athletic department. But at the time, you know, Scott Strickland had a history with Dan Mullen. You know, that's fine. You know, he got us the SEC championship game. Good on him. You know, but the next coach at the University of Florida is going to be Billy Napier, and he's probably going to do a pretty good job. Now, can he win a championship? Remains to be seen. But, you know, I think the two guys that are going to be the most interesting watch in the next 2 to 3 years are going to be Billy Napier, Marcus Freeman. Those two young men are going to have a big challenge on their hands, and I think both those guys are going to be just a really interesting watch.
Man, I don't give many shout-outs to Notre Dame, but credit
that's
them.
A great move by them.
I mean, they just got, in a way, Strickland knew who he wanted, had an interview, had a meeting. Okay, that's the guy I want. Credit Notre Dame, too, for, you know, they had more of a background with Freeman, of course, and having that year as a defensive coordinator. So they knew the relationship there. But credit them for making that decision really fast.
And keeping him out of the Southeastern Conference as a defensive coordinator. Good on
him. That works, too.
Could you imagine Marcus Freeman at LSU with those kids that he can recruit at LSU? No, thank you.
Hey, I mean, he made the right decision. It was a year ago. He had a chance to go to LSU, and it looked like close to being done, and he decided not to go to LSU. And look, the reason he didn't was because he was told the coaching staff is on rocky ground, on shaky ground, and he's like, okay, I want to. Now, granted, he probably thought he had a little more stability at Notre Dame with Brian Kelly, but he didn't. But it worked out for him. So great decision by him last year as well to make the decision not to go to LSU, and it worked
showed a lot of maturity, a lot of intelligence for him to go. Looking at that situation, don't like that. I'll go coach for Brian Kelly up there at Notre Dame. We'll get some national exposure. We'll turn that around. Maybe I'll get a shot. And kudos to Jack Swarbrick for getting that done. Like, do we know if Marcus Freeman's going to be a great head coach? We don't know. But Mike, I don't know that you could get a better candidate for an up and coming guy and a guy to kind of change perception of Notre Dame football from something that's old and stodgy and, you know, Era Parsegian and those guys to new guy, young blood. You know, and I just think it's great. And I think it's great that they reached out to a young African-American coach. I mean, they've only had one in the history of that program, and I think it's fantastic that they reached out and promoted a young African-American coach to be, you know, headlining that football program. It's great. I think it's good on all accounts.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see what he does. I mean, I'm not going to pull for Notre Dame a whole lot. I'll pull for him.
If they make the playoff, I'm pulling for Notre Dame.
Right, yeah, there you go.
I've never pulled for Notre Dame in my life. But if they make the playoff, I'm pulling for Notre Dame. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, man. This year would be absolutely great. I mean,
it would be fantastic. Just
Brian Kelly
Brian
leaves.
Kelly. Absolutely.
Yeah, Brian Kelly leaves. You let him go in there. If they match up against Georgia, of course we're pulling for him. But,
absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, we'll see how it all plays out. I'm telling you, it's college football is crazy right now. I mean, you don't think it can get any crazier than what it gets.
And it's not like, over.
No, it's not.
It's not over. David Cutcliffe left a vacancy at Duke. Talk about a good landing spot for Dan Mullen. Duke University would be perfect for Dan.
I said the same thing last couple of weeks when it sounded like Cutcliffe was going. I was like, hey, recruiting takes care of itself a good bit there because of the academics.
Yeah, and it's a developmental program, and they don't care. You go 6-6 every year, they'll build a statue for you.
And a lot of people, I don't know if they saw last night, Bronco Mendenhall's leaving Virginia as well.
Yep, another decent landing spot. But you've got to bang your head up against Virginia Tech. And Virginia has academic standards the same way that Florida does, same way that Michigan does. So you're talking about academic universities. You're talking about top 10s. You're talking about University of California, Berkeley, some of the other California schools. You've got Michigan. You know, you're going to have University of Florida, University of Virginia. Those schools have those academic restrictions. Florida does, too. You know, and there's going to be a little bit more difficult to recruit to for some of these guys. So, but, you know, Virginia, I just think Duke is a better landing spot for Dan than maybe Virginia is.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Dave.
All right. Thanks, guys. All right. Let's see. True Religion and Brandon. So What's up, guys? How are you?
Yo. Yo, hey, Dave, what's up?
Not much. Talking to you guys.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good after I got past these technical issues this morning.
Right. Great show so far. I've had a lot of great conversations there. So mine's going to go to so when they announce Napier, when do you think we're going to get an OC in D.C.? Do you think he'll announce it then or wait, or how do you think that's going to –
I do think if the D.C. is Belk, I think we'll find out Sunday. I think they're also waiting for them to play in that conference championship game against Cincinnati. Look, and that's just me guessing Belk is the guy. I have no idea if he is or not. I'll fully admit that right now. I'm not trying to say if he is. I think possibly we can find out Sunday with that. I think we'll find out some of the staff on Sunday. I don't think it'll be complete staff. There, as far as OC goes, I still expect, and I know this is a touchy subject for some people as well, but I expect Napier to call his own plays still at Florida and not be the full CEO like some people want in the head coach. But you know, I don't think, from everything I can gather, Napier is still expected to call his own plays.
So you think he'll rely heavy on the staff or not?
As far as
like as him calling the plays, you think so? You said on offense, he's going to be calling the offensive plays, but defense, he's just going to let it ride, kind of like let the DC handle that.
Yeah, that's from what I could gather. If you listen to the Getting to Know Billy Napier episode, that seems to be his reputation, is letting the defensive coordinator be the head coach of the defense. There now, of course, he'll still have some say and still needs to be in the game plans and all that, and kind of similar to how Dan Mullen did. And like, I have no problem with that. Just because it didn't work under Dan Mullen doesn't necessarily mean it won't work that way. I don't think you have to have the CEO. I don't think you can't have a head coach that calls his own plays. I think we look at Dan Mullen and it not working like that and wanting to go complete opposite other way because of that. No, I don't see it that way. These coaches have to be comfortable with what they're doing. And then if it doesn't work, be willing to adapt and change. But I think initially they need to do it their way, and hopefully their way works.
Right. And another staff question I have, I know it's a touchy subject as well. So what is the deal with retaining the coaches there now, like Christian Robinson and, the strength and conditioning coach? They want him to stay, Savage. So what do you think, they'll be retained or let go? Or what's your thoughts on that? Because, the players obviously want those guys there. I see the tweets.
Yeah, I spoke a little bit on it earlier, but I'll extend the conversation a bit. I do think there are some advantages of keeping some of the staff there just because of continuity reasons, and it gives you an in there. It makes the transition a bit easier for some of the players, but I do not think it's an absolute must. If Billy Napier wants to come in and completely change house, by all means, you go do it. It needs to be his team, his program, built in his image. If it feels like it's better that somebody's on the staff that's been here, then okay, go do it. If not, then don't do it. I could care less what the current players think, what former players think. He needs to be able to do what he wants to do. And that's
where I'm at with it. I think if he wants to go in and clean house, let him do it. Just let him have at it. Let it be his team for once. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And look, if somebody does stick around, if Christian Robinson's around, Tim Brewster's around, whatever, I fully believe it's his decision. I don't think he's been, and honestly, from what we've heard and some of his rightful demands, it'll be his decision, his rightful decision to keep or not keep anybody on staff. So Christian Robinson, I think from everything I can gather on my end, probably really is the only likely candidate. Maybe McGee, maybe Brewster. I don't think that happens, though. And C. Rob, from all I can tell, might be the only one. As far as Savage goes, and I'll throw one more plug for the most recent episode. Josh said the strength and conditioning coach at Louisiana more than likely would come with Billy Napier. They've been together since their days at Alabama, so there's a relationship there.
Well, I'm not really mad about getting a guy from Bama in that tree. That don't sound too bad to me.
I don't know enough about it. Like when they make that decision, when they make that, of course we'll all do our research and go look at who that is and what his relationship was. I mean, because if it was back at his time at Bama, He, of course, wouldn't have been the main strength and conditioning because I believe that would have been Cochran at the time who was leading the strength and conditioning program at Alabama. So he probably would have been under Cochran in that regard. So he wouldn't have been leading the Alabama strength and conditioning, but probably picked up some things. He's been at Louisiana, a team that has a pretty good, tough reputation of hard-nosed ball there in the Sun Belt. Can that translate to the SEC? But it is somebody that – you're familiar with, and honestly, from everything we hear about these strength and conditioning people, are you know, they're the head coach of the offseason when the coaching staff can't be around these guys. So it's going to have to be somebody Napier really trusts, and I don't know if he's going to walk in and trust Nick Savage with his team. That I don't know his background with Nick Savage. I mean, maybe there's some kind of connection there that we really don't know of. But I would tend to believe, and going back to the podcast as well, of bringing a guy he's very familiar with.
So what is speaking of the strength and conditioning, they want to keep Savage because I guess he was trying to help the players eat. What is this I'm hearing about the players eating like Happy Meals before the games and stuff? Is that true? Like, what is that about? I've been seeing that on Twitter, and the players are actually tweeting that.
I saw that. I didn't get too involved with that. That's, you know, that – it was Diabate that said that. I know it got blown up and everything. And then they came out and said that it really wasn't on Savage. So I don't know the connection there. I'm more interested in the whole football aspect of all this stuff right now. And, you know, we'll see where this thing goes in the future. I'm not really harping on that too much. And once I heard that it really wasn't Savage, and I was like, okay, well, that means it's taken care of if it wasn't Savage. So
I know y'all talked about it a little earlier on certain players, but do you think there's going to be some other players that are going to transfer out that we're not thinking about, that's not talked about, that's kind of flying under the right, like these younger guys maybe?
Yeah, I really do. And I can't give you names, but I will just say they'll go through spring practice and they'll see how they're maybe fitting in, how they're not fitting in, how much playing time they're getting in the spring, how much playing time they're not getting in the spring. And you can best bet some of those guys that are not getting a lot of playing time in the spring, they will probably put their name in the transfer portal. So I think some will wait till spring practice and see where they stand with this new coaching staff.
I think it's inevitable too. I think we're going to lose a few more. I just my personal opinion, like you said, once spring practice starts and evaluations start, I think we're going to definitely lose some more to the portal. But same thing, I think we can pick up some really good players in the portal right now.
Yeah, you know, and I think honestly, I think again, until recruiting gets better in the trenches, you're going to have to go try and find some guys in the trenches, especially a defensive tackle again. I think
offensive line too. We need an offensive line.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah. Where I was going to go with that next is there's just not a lot of great options for offensive line in the portal. You just don't see great offensive linemen come in the portal and make a huge difference. And granted, these defensive tackles for Florida didn't make a huge difference this year, but I don't know where Florida's defense would have been without those guys. And that's kind of where I'm at right now is behind Dexter. Is there really anybody in the middle of that defense? I mean, there's some names there, but there's not – you can't point to anybody and say, okay, that's the next guy that's really going to go out there and help Dexter. I have no idea who's going to go help Dexter next year.
Right. I'm really curious because, you know, we haven't had an O-line coach, since week 9, something week 8? I wonder who's going to go in and try to take over that. You know what I'm saying? There's got to be a coach out there that can come in and really – help that.
Yeah, that's what you're hoping. Whoever this next guy is, maybe there's a reputation for maybe somewhat respectable offensive lineman out there who says, okay, you know what? I want to go win more, and I can go win more at Florida. And maybe that's how you get some better offensive linemen on this roster because they're impressed by the hire that Florida makes.
Speaking of offensive linemen, Ethan White, do you think is he still eligible? Does he still have eligibility, or can he go pro? Or because I his stats seem really good this season when he played.
He'll be back. He'll be back. He's good. He injured toward the end of this year. Didn't play a whole lot toward the end of the year. He'll be back. He'll be good.
I think he's a very solid offensive lineman for us moving forward.
Yeah, when he wasn't out there, you could definitely tell the physicality of this offensive line fell big time. And Josh Braun just did not look very comfortable on the left side of the line, as comfortable as he did on the right side of the line toward the beginning part of the, or
And to go to that, to go to Braun, wasn't Braun a 4-star and White was only a 3-star, correct? I know stars don't matter, but I'm saying that that's the case of stars not mattering to me.
That's like I said, I thought Braun played really good on the right side, though. I think it was just more of a natural fit. But credit to Ethan White, too. I mean, he's a staple in that offensive line. And I think once they got his weight in check and, you know, he put his body in the physical presence that it is in, he could go out there and play after play, be on the field. He really, really showed up. So I do think, you know, Florida's offensive line will be best when Braun and White are out there and they're playing where they need to play.
I agree. I'm really excited for this hire. And as always, go Gators, and thank you for your time.
Go Gators.
Hey, Dave, I just wanted to say something real quick. I just tagged you in it on Twitter and wanted to encourage all the other Gator fans to check this out. There is a coaching seminar that Coach Napier gave, I guess it was a year or two ago, and it's very interesting. The first two videos are free, and then the rest is $25. Man,
you read my mind. I went and paid for that thing the other night.
Yeah.
it's on CoachTube or TubeCoach.
That's right, CoachTube.
Yeah, CoachTube.
It's worth the watch, man. Like, you really learn what kind of coach and what kind of person we're getting to run this program. And it makes me even more excited. So I just wanted to make other Gator fans, wanted them to know about it and check it out for themselves as well.
Yeah, I saw that too. So I still have to watch the whole thing, but I haven't got around to watching the whole thing yet.
Yeah, you and Will will love it. So,
yeah. Thanks, man.
All right, man.
Oh, I'm going to call it right there on that. I got some real job work stuff to do on this Friday so I can get everything ready for Sunday and Monday for everything for Gators Breakdown. So, got some real world work to do right now. But everybody's apologize for the beginning of this. I was trying to figure out some technical stuff. I don't know how it sounds right now on this, but I know you guys can hear me, but I know it sounds a whole lot different than it normally does here on the Twitter spaces for Gators Breakdown. So everybody, thank you so much for hopping in. Exciting time for Gator Nation. We'll get to hear from our brand new head coach on Sunday in his opening press conference. I plan on being down in Gainesville. Hopefully get to ask a couple questions, and we'll take it from there. But exciting time. Everybody's Billy Napier makes his way to Gainesville in just a couple of days. David Waters, you can check me out on Gators Breakdown. I don't know next episode when it will be out, all according to the time of the press conference on Sunday. If I can get anything out Sunday evening, or if I just wait till Monday evening, kind of like our normal off-season schedule. So we'll see where it goes, but all timing, of course, on Billy Napier's press conference. So, all right, everybody, thank you so much for joining this Twitter Spaces, and I'll see you on Gators Breakdown this week.